WWE franchise. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys? Enjoying this little tournament?
This series is feisty, man. Like, this Calgary-Winnipeg series has been, like, must-viewing for me.
Well, you know what? It's funny. Before the series started, I had a ton of people. Like, I was doing radio interviews in the States, and I heard, I knew in Canada it would be intriguing and well-followed because you got two Canadian teams. But even in the States, guys were saying this is going to be the most intriguing or the best series of the qualification round because – on paper, the two teams are so identical and so well-matched. And I think that's proven out in the games, too. Flames pulled away a little bit yesterday, but, you know, up until about the midway point of that game, it was a dead heat as well. All three games have basically been, you know, identical, you know, very, very close.
Well, but you're playing a team that's shorthanded. You know, that's the surprising thing. For the first time, when we talked to you a couple weeks ago, Eric, I said, man, why does no one believe in Calgary? You said even people in Calgary don't believe in the Flames. Man, yeah. If anyone needed a break to mentally get ready and go, okay, here we go. I think that, hey, it happens, but it's been a launching pad for confidence. And it seemed like after yesterday, that Flames team is going, man, we are all in. And they could go on a little bit of a run here.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's still the Calgary Flames, and they still always suck in the playoffs. You know, but that's why yesterday's game was so amazing. Like, that's, you know, that's only their third win in their last 12 playoff games, right? You know, dating back, this is the first time since 2015 against Vancouver that they're on a, you know, have a team on the brink of elimination. Like, there's not a lot of good playoff history in Calgary, and so for them though, yesterday on that pivotal game three, it's 1-1 after one period. And they flipped a switch. Like, there was a 7-minute stanza there where they scored four goals and just absolutely dominated and took it to the Canucks. One of the goals was disallowed. One of Lucic's goals was disallowed. But other than that, the pressure, the confidence, and they spoke going into the playoffs about how we've got to capture momentum and keep it going. And they never, you know, in the playoff history for the Flames, they rarely capture momentum and take it anywhere other than, say, 04 when they went on that magical run to the final. So they've got the momentum now, but it means nothing going into the next game. They're feeling it. They feel good, but this Jets team is still too good. They still bounced back brilliantly in game two. Those Jets did, even though they were missing their two biggest stars. And I won't count them out. I just won't. I won't count them out because Calgary has that history, and I won't count them out because the Jets are that good. I really am impressed by them.
Eric Francis with us here on Sportsnet 650. How did Cam Talbot become the guy? Replacing Big Save Dave.
You know, I thought all along that he was going to get the start in the playoffs, and I thought he should, based on 15 NHL playoff games. Big Save Dave Rittich has never played in the playoffs, ever. And even though the Flames see him as their goalie of the future, you know, they just thought, you know what, Talbot had a better camp, and Talbot was way better down the stretch. David Rittich, for 3 years in a row in the NHL, has had a second half plummet. You know, his numbers have just dove, and we don't know. They think it has to do with his physical fitness, but maybe it's his mental side. But either way, Cam Talbot has been great, and the Flames won 6-2 yesterday, but they were outshot. Amazing to me. He made 33 saves, but I can't remember a big one. And I think that's a comment on just how, you know, positionally sound he is and how calm he is. There's no five bell saves with Cam Talbot very often. He'll go through, he'll get the job done. He's got a 924 save percentage, and he's done it just with the most incredible efficiency. He's got a pretty good defense in front of him too, and I think that helps keep the other team to the perimeter. But yeah, it's amazing. They went into this series, everyone was talking about Connor Hellebuck, and right now it's Cam Talbot who's got the edge. It's pretty interesting.
This city has had a love affair with Milan Lucic. He cashed a big check because of Stanley Cup success and then kind of went missing. Has he been found now in Calgary, as you know, what he can do in the postseason?
That's it. Like, you nailed it. Like, they know what he can do. And, like, there's one thing. The Flames are last in this tournament in playoff experience, for what that's worth. You know, 323 games. Lucic has 114 of them. So, that you know, they're leaning on him heavily for all sorts of things, but it's mostly just about in the room. You know, he's a third line mucker. His hands disappeared about 3 years ago. I think his hands disappeared the day he signed that contract with the Oilers. I don't know if there was some sort of slip up with the pen as he signed that deal, but
But he got through it.
That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. How am I hand shaking here?
Yeah, exactly. And something went wrong, but you know what? He's a banger. He's a crasher. He's a leader. And this team needed leadership in playoffs because, like, again, they keep folding. They also needed, a character, someone who could tell them, look, guys, it's okay. You know, anyway, he's been a calming influence. And for him to get two goals yesterday, I know one got called back. And, hey, both of them were fluky as hell. The one that did count, it was, you know, he kind of misfired on it. It was a knuckle puck. But you know what? The boys love him in the room. And you guys know that there's always that guy or two on every team that he scores four goals a year, but when he does, the bench goes nuts. And Lucic had eight this year, and they went nuts every single time. So yesterday was a big moment for him.
And it's, yeah, and you know what? A guy who was a total presence out there. It looked like he broke a mirror for maybe 5 minutes in the middle of the game there between having the goal disallowed and then taking a penalty moments after and then Kopp scores to get back into it. Is it fair to say that the Jets just cannot win this series? I mean, do you legitimately believe the Jets can pull this off without Scheifele and Laine? I can't see that.
I know that it sounds tough for any team to – you know, those guys combined, I think, for 78 goals this year that are missing. And then there were guys, they lost Tucker Pullman for a little bit yesterday. He came back. Matthew Perreault was pretty banged up. I don't think he's coming back to the series. You know, the list goes on. Mason Appleton, he's a fourth liner. But still, you know, you got these guys and you're counting on your depth. But this kid, Jansen Harkins, stepped in and scored his first goal in his first NHL playoff game the other day. So I still think they can do this. I still think the Jets can come back and win it. I don't think they will, but I'm just saying I still think they can. They're a talented, talented team. And, you know, I think when you look back at the Jets 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to look back and say, wow, that is amazing that, you know, they never did more in the playoffs because I think they're such a deep roster. I give them so much credit. I want to go back to Lucic, guys, because not only did he contribute all those other things yesterday, he also had the best line of the game yesterday. We can hear everything when we're sitting in the stands there. And he got whistled for a penalty. And as he was going to the penalty box, you know, he's screaming and yelling and dropping all sorts of F-bombs. But he says to the ref, "You just want to be on TV. That's all. You just want to be on TV."
Yeah. It's always the big
That's
tough
Perry's
that
story
the
all the time,
lines,
too.
Isn't it? Hey, let me ask you this. And it would be, it's all conjecture, Eric, unless you know. But you know Michael Ferlin well from your Calgary days and his Calgary days. We don't know. He played 2 minutes of hockey yesterday. Cuthbert speculating maybe there was a shot block or something. There's got to be some serious concern, though, and we don't know with the unfit to play. What would your sense be?
Oh, God, it scares me, right? I'm a huge Michael Ferlin fan, and I think a lot of people are. You know, I don't know if the concussion thing is back, and I hope not. And, you know, that would be my guess. And I didn't see the incident or I didn't see his 2 minutes of play last night isolated. You know, I just kind of watched the game on the whole. But I hope that's not the case. You guys saw when he was with Calgary what he did to disrupt a series against Vancouver. And I know that was 5 years ago, but that's the capability he has, you know, and he's just so physical and that's so needed in the playoffs. I hope it's not what I think it is, but I fear the worst for him. I hope we see him back next game. And I know we're not going to get any indication until the puck is dropped, probably.
Nice to catch up with you. Appreciate you doing this quick and early this morning. I know there's been some long days and going back to back. You got a day to breathe at least here, but it's been a fun series. Looking forward to much more of it. Thanks for doing this morning, Eric.
Oh, boys, I love talking to you. I'll talk anytime as long as I'm not golfing.
Later,
thanks,
Eric.
Later.